It is Monday morning. We have a special guest for you today. Joining us from the city of Bloomington is the Director of Public Works, our good friend Adam Wason. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, class. How are you, sir?
Thanks for making time for us in the studio here on a Monday.
My pleasure.
Well, you've been busy.
We've got a lot going on in the city of Bloomington right now.
And that's what we thought would be a great idea, to have you come in and talk a little trash, as we've always joked about. We had Mick kick us off on Thursday, helping us try to figure out, well, not figure out really, but you've got the plan ready. You've got the plan moving forward. We've got sizes. We've got pickup dates. We've got single streams. We've got it all to cover. And I figured, well, there's the expert is here with us today. Let's talk about how this process came together, because you've been on recently with us and we've talked about it. The old fleet and the way you've collected sanitation in the past is quite simply outdated.
It's outdated is the perfect word. It's an antiquated system where we've got, an old fleet of vehicles. We've got our staff down at the sanitation department that are picking up literally thousands and thousands of pounds of trash each day manually. And so we've been studying this for over a year now, and we're getting to the point where we have the approvals we need, and we're doing the cart size surveys and such. So we're moving forward and looking to do a modernized approach to how we pick up trash and recycling here in Bloomington. So
trash and recycling kind of goes together now, and it's going to be a little bit different than what we've seen in the past. The biggest change is going to be the fleet of trucks. You're going to have a couple different kinds of trucks, like you're going to have a different couple kinds of cans, because simply not every street in Bloomington is made the same way, and you've got recycles in one and trash in the other.
Yep, exactly. So we'll be we're in the cart selection survey portion of the process right now, but moving forward we'll be using some different trucks, moving to an automated system. So we'll have the automated side load, where you'll have an arm on the side of the truck picking up the carts and dumping them, and then we'll also have some rear load trucks, where we'll have some mechanized tippers on the back of some rear load trucks. And so, you know, like I said, we have studied this for over a year now, and looked at other communities and looked for best practices. And like you said, some of our streets are different than others. So if you're on
narrower,
yeah, exactly. So if you think of, you know, your Lincoln streets between like 7th and 10th or Washington, you know, some of those with the narrow one ways, we won't be able to get in there with the side load tipper, and we'll still have a crew of three on a truck and the rear loads going by and using the tippers. And the big goal here is employee safety, replacing the fleet, and just doing a more modernized approach to this. We'll have a lot, the entire system will provide us a lot more data on exactly what we're picking up, when we're picking it up, from who, and that'll allow us to make adjustments as we move forward, to really kind of tweak the system to best serve the community. So that's the angle.
It's just like anything else. You can have every study, you can have every bit of information, until you put the plan into work and you have to operate the trucks and drive through those alleys and the snow hits and this happens. You don't know all that. So it's an ongoing project, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, we're going to have some hiccups along the way, but we're hoping to minimize them and make them as little of an impact as possible. But, you know, the one thing I keep telling folks, and, you know, last week when the survey went out, our call volume went up and such, so I got to talk to quite a few citizens. And, you know, the one thing I keep telling folks is, you know, we understand it's a big change.
And who likes that?
Yeah, no, I have found out in my 10 plus years at the city, when you propose a big change to the way you deliver a service, you know, you really have to have your game together and do it, you know, go about it the right way, make sure people have the information they need, be sure to be there to answer questions. But yeah, answered a lot of questions last week, and you know, some folks are just weary of change, and we get that. So we're trying to show what the positives are, what the conveniences will be. And
well, and I'll say it, because you can't.
Hey, now, be careful.
The three or four people that do it their way doesn't necessarily make that good for the 99.9907% of the people that need to do it. So you can't take in everybody's individual request. It has to be for what's best for the city and the greater good, correct?
That's the only approach I take to the way we do things in public works and at the city. You know, it's for the greater good. And, you know, we heard from a lot of folks last week, and even when we were going through the committee phase and working working with city council, getting the approvals in place, you know, we heard from folks and that said, hey, I don't generate a lot of trash. I compost religiously. I recycle the best I can. I might put out a bag or two a month, or every couple months I might put a bag out.
Just stick that to your neighbors. I already told them how to fix
well, that. You know, and so we heard a lot of that last week. And you know, we can't address their issue right away up front, but the one thing we can tell them is with this new system, we're going to have data points and we're going to be collecting the data to make decisions in the future. You know, we're proposing a monthly fee based on the solid waste cart you choose. In the future, with the data that we get, we may be able to move to an actual pay-as-you-throw, where if you don't put the trash out, we don't charge you. But, you know, in order...
You'll be able to measure the can going in to a degree?
Yeah, we'll be able to know. So each cart will have serial codes, barcode with RFID technology, so radio frequency ID technology. So we know that cart belongs to 301 South Lincoln, and we know if we picked it up 3 times in a month or 0 times in a month. But we don't know that today, and so you know we need to put that
so
collect
the door,
that data.
The door is not shut on down the road. I don't want to say the word rebate. I'm not even gonna insinuate that, but when someone can call you and say, hey, can you look up how many times you've picked up my can in the last 6 months, and you say, well, geez, it's zero, that's something down the road you're going to look at?
We'll have that information, and so that's, you know, when I was talking about the folks that don't put out a lot of trash, so that's what they call the pay-as-you-throw system. The only time you pay is when you actually throw away the trash. Up front here, we don't have that data, we don't have that information to be able to make a really good sound decision for the financial model, so we've gone with just the monthly fee approach, and we've committed to city council within the first few years, we'll be looking at that data and coming back and saying, hey, here's what the data tells us.
Because pay-as-you-throw was the old system with the sticker.
Exactly.
But the sticker didn't have what house it came from, how many times.
Nope.
So,
and so all the data.
That's a pretty cool system, because why wouldn't you do what's data-driven?
Exactly.
Field-driven doesn't feel like anything.
Nope.
Sports does it. Business does it. Everybody is doing data-driven.
Well, you know, in these conversations we've been having over the last few weeks with the community and such, you know, the one thing I can tell folks is that the only data I have right now is from the guys and the men and women on the back of the trucks telling us, hey, on an average house, we're picking up about 2 cans a week. You know, that's the kind of data we have right now. We've got overall tonnages, you know, for the community in a week. We know how much we picked up overall, but we don't have that kind of individualized, personalized data to know house by house, and so we're with the new technologies that are out there, this will all be on board with the trucks, and they'll be able to
so the best angle you can give people right now is we're not writing this all down in permanent marker.
Nope.
We have to have a starting point.
Yep.
We gotta see how it works.
Yep.
And just like parking or anything else, we'll go back and evaluate it and try to tweak it as you go.
Tweak as you go. We understand it's a big change, but we're also here to listen, and we're also here to make modifications as needed to make the system work for the vast majority and the greater good of the community.
Adam Wason's our guest this morning. He's here in the studio with us, as he's the director of Public Works. The new trash concept, we're hoping fall. We don't have a exact date, because
yep.
the ordering of the trucks is going on, yep. the ordering of the containers. Now, you've sent out the list to everybody saying, what would you like to order?
Yep.
And tell me about when that's due,
mm-hmm.
and maybe some of the questions you've been hearing about.
Sure.
What should I pick? And what if I pick the wrong one? And what if what do I do with my old tubs? What do I do? This is why you're here. This is great.
We've got all the answers. So, yeah, we're looking. Right now we're in the survey phase. So last week around Friday or Saturday, folks started receiving it's just a one-page flyer in the mail saying, hey, it's time to select cart sizes. You can either do it on paper and turn it in, or you can go to our website.
Which is fantastic, by the way.
Bloomington.in.gov/sanitation-modernization. So we're in that phase right now where we need folks to choose the carts. And one of the big questions we got last week, and we probably could have done a better job explaining on the flyer, was, you know, why is there a range of fees for each cart size? And the reason we've got that range is because until we have the 15,000 households that we service, until they do that cart selection, we don't know our final financial model. So when we went to city council to get this approved...
Ish. Give me an ish.
Yeah. Each of the three different sizes we're going to offer for solid waste has a range. And so once everybody picks and we have that data in, and we can break it down. We'll set some final fees within the ranges per cart with the Board of Public Works on, I think we're expecting July 25th. But
so what you do when you go to this company is you say, hey, look, I need X amount of cans. I need some in small, some in medium, some in large. You buy in a bulk discount, yep. And then you'll have replacements if somebody gets run over, knocked over, and all of that.
Absolutely. We'll have an inventory back for replacements, for switch-outs, et cetera. So, the one thing with ordering all this equipment and these carts and such, the carts are the easy part to order. That's about a 60-day out, and they can, from the day we order, 60 days to where they can be delivering house by house.
Great.
The trash trucks are a little different. Those are about a six-month lead time.
Now, how much of that is custom for what you want to do? Obviously, they've got a floor model. Then you say, hey, I've got tight, narrow streets where I need a tipper on the back, and yep. I need some with the arm. It's just the same thing, right?
Absolutely. And so, with those trucks, it's literally a six-month lead time. So the chassis is ready. It's at a shop somewhere. But then you got to build the bodies and put those on. So we got those trucks ordered, and we're expecting a mid to late September delivery on those.
And that's if I-69 is done and everything.
Ooh, I-6, we'll talk about that.
We will. Later. We will get to that. That's right.
We're looking at a September delivery for the trucks. We'll have the carts. Hopefully, we'll be doing the deliveries to the households last 2 weeks of September.
Okay.
With a go live.
Yeah, that's going to be just a semi going down the street, and here's two for you, here's two for you.
Yep. So they'll have.
You don't have to pick them up anywhere. These will be brought to your.
These will be dropped off in front of right at your house. They'll have. We'll have a crew from the company that we're purchasing the carts from. They'll be. They'll have probably six or seven guys in town, some centralized locations where they'll be putting together the carts, and then from there delivering directly house by house. And as they're delivering, they've got a scanner. They're going to scan the barcode.
So they know where you're at.
They know exactly where that cart's being dropped off to, and the technology will allow if your cart disappears in the middle of the night one night, and three cycles later we pick up that cart at your neighbor's house four houses down, we'll know that was your cart. So yeah. That technology will all be tracked.
We can't do any of the fooling on the system anymore, which is good, because it's not worth it. Again, the two or three people that have been gaming the system, congratulations. you've already had a free run for as long as you've had. Now it's time to get in the pool with us. What happens if I have a big party on Thanksgiving and I've got 25, 30 people over, family, and I've only got two of these carts, but I'm going to have all this extra recycled trash? How are we going to work that?
Yep. So we, that was one of the big questions.
Is that a popular one?
That's
I would
been
think
a big
it would
question
be, yeah.
that came up throughout the process. And so what we've done is right now we work a 4-day work week. We're doing 4 10-hour work days with the sanitation department. And in the future, we'll continue with that, but we'll also be running one Friday route where if you've got a heavy week, you just need to call into sanitation. I think we set it by Thursday at 8:00. Call in, leave your address. I need an additional pickup. We'll plug that into our software system. It'll spit out a route optimization for the Friday pickup, and we'll do those extra pickups.
You have to make that reservation.
Yep.
You can't just put it on the curb and hope it goes away.
No.
Now, if I, again, these are, I know you've heard all these questions. This is why I love asking you them. My bins are full. It's my day. I've got two extra bags. Do I got to get a sticker? Do I put them on top? What do I do here?
Nope. The big thing with these carts is we'll only be able to pick them up if the lids are closed. So overfilling them doesn't work.
No Jenga?
Yeah. If you overfill them and that lid's wide open when we pick it up to dump it, that's going to end up all over the neighborhood. So that's one of the big things with the lids, making sure everything's closed. But if you've got those couple extra bags, we won't be able to pick them up on your normal service day, but we'll be able to come back on Friday and pick those up.
Just make arrangements then yourself. And you'll know that, too. Usually if you're having a party, it's for usually some kind of occasion where you'll know that will be the case.
We expect our Friday routes around Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. We'll have some busy days there, but, that's part of a new system.
Now, that work same for the recycling? If I've had a big wedding reception at my house and all those Coca-Cola cans are piling up.
The additional pickups will just be for solid waste at this time upon
at
implementation.
This time.
Yep. At this time. If we see, a great, and the other thing, the reason we didn't go with recycling for the additional pickups right now is we're changing them from once every 2 weeks to every week. So,
right. That should lighten the load.
It should. And I'd encourage anyone that's got the space in the garage or under the shed, for your recycling container, go with as large as you can fit in your house because, if you have a big week with Amazon and you get a couple extra cardboard boxes in there,
Got them up.
And so, the whole fee structure is based on the solid waste cart chosen, the trash cart chosen. So if you've got the space for a larger recycling one, that allows you a little leeway. You know, some weeks you might not have but half of it full, but those big weeks, you know, it would be a nice convenience to have that.
It's almost a rule of thumb is if you have four or more in your house, you got to go with the big one.
Recycling?
Unless you're a professional, just composter and whatever.
Yeah, you know, I compare it to my family, you know our family. We've got three kids. And
you're healthy and you're paying attention and you play by the rules, right?
So we would go with the largest recycling container after you get through a couple gallons of milk and a few OJ containers in a week
and boxes, but
for our solid waste, we'd probably go with the middle 64, just to make sure we had enough space. And so we're, one of the things, some of the information you'll find on the website with the solid waste carts is exactly, you know, for the smallest cart, it's going to fit no more than three kitchen sized bags in a week. So, unless you really stamp it down in there, but, and that information is all available on the website. So how many bags fit per container, how many, what the pickup
cycles
are
going to
be. Which
is great. It's helpful because that reference isn't going away. It's going to be there. So if you say, hey, look, now we've got a diaper bag, now we've got twins, we've
sure.
got two diaper bags.
Exactly.
So it's funny how that stuff works out. This can all be changed after, let's say I've gone 3 months and said, oh, geez, I'm on the wrong, I need more.
Yep.
It's easy, right?
It will be easy. What we've done is, as part of this whole plan, is we've made a commitment to, within the first 60 days of the system going live, if somebody says, oh, you know what, I
got the wrong one. I
undersized. I want the bigger
recycling.
Have you
ever bought a television before?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you ever buy the smallest television?
I have not, no.
Mm-mm. And then you ask for forgiveness later, but the worst thing you'd ever do is put a TV on your wall and say, well, yeah, I knew I should have got the bigger one.
Well,
so when in doubt, I would start large and then scale your way back.
And so what we're doing, we'll do free switch outs for that first 60 days.
Right.
If you undersized or oversized, within that first 60 days, we'll do a switch out. After that first 60 days, though, there will be a fee attached to card exchanges.
It's labor. Someone's got to do it, right?
Yeah, it's labor.
Nobody
and
rides for free.
And we've got to buy that new cart, too, so.
And the one thing we haven't talked about, and we will. Can you stick around a little bit?
I got till 9 o'clock. I blocked the calendar.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'll lock the door. We'll do a little radio. We're going to do some sports here in a minute. But I know the other questions people are thinking, hey, I've got some apartments. Hey, I've owned a couple rental houses. I have a rental house. We'll talk about what we'll need to do to get into that.
Sure.
The other part is, what was I going to ask you about? Because I'm looking at it and I can't see it. When we've got businesses downtown or everything else, we'll get into all that as well. And moving forward, we know you're the king of graffiti. We've known that for years. We'll talk about some of that. We saw that in today's paper as well. That's Adam Wason. He's a director of public works. He's riding shotgun this morning. Well, me and Adam Wason are figuring it out off the air, as we always do. He's the director of public works for the city of Bloomington. Gorgeous morning.
Beautiful.
We're going to warm up. That's the nice part. Two things I can't believe. As May flies on, everybody's going to be out of school this Friday.
Yes, they are.
And the reason I can't believe that is usually we're talking about snow removal, overtime, where's the salt, gee whiz, can you believe this?
Nope.
And this year we're wondering where the suntan lotion is.
Absolutely.
How are we going to get all these potholes filled? Talk to me about how that swings in the other direction, because with one is the other. If you have a quiet spring. Winter, that means spring and summer's busy,
yep.
Right?
Absolutely. We actually made some changes with the street department this summer. We typically did a 5-day work week with 8-hour work days. For the summer here, we're doing a trial period this year where we're doing the 4-10 schedule, so 4 work days, 10 hours a day. And that's the reason we're doing that is because the winter was so light, we've got some extra money for paving. We've got our most ambitious paving schedule that we've had in many years. If we didn't have to spend it on salt, so let's spend it on fixing roads.
Well, and how about labor? Because overtime, doesn't that hurt you as well?
Absolutely. In the winters, it was a very light winter for overtime, and so we'll with the 4-10s, and even if we need to push a little harder beyond that, we've got the overtime budget line is looking pretty good too. But most ambitious paving schedule we're going to have in a few years. And one thing I'll point out to folks is if you go to the city's website /streets, that's our street department website. We've actually we've done an interactive paving map. So if you're interested
awesome.
To see where we're going to be paving.
Well, I was going to ask you what determines the priority on where you start, who goes next.
Yep. So it's all data driven. So we've got.
I love it. I mean, that makes sense.
Yep.
You're going to hear that over and over again because It'd be nice if you could call up and say, I've got two potholes in front of my, well, I'll be there in 10 minutes. Sometimes it doesn't work that way.
Well, we try to, if we get a call on a pothole, our goal is we're going to have that, if we get a call on a specific location, we're going to have that pothole filled within 48 hours.
Okay.
We're pretty good at that, but we need to know about them. That's the other part.
That's the other issue. Yep. So if you go to the website and say, hey, I've got it, you can yell off your front porch all you like, send a carrier pigeon, a telegram, something, just to let you guys know, and then you get out there. Can I ask you a dumb question about potholes?
Yes.
Can you fill them when it rains? Do you need better weather?
You don't want to fill a pothole that's full of water.
Gotcha. So if you're starting the process and it starts raining, you're okay because you're ahead of the game.
Yeah,
but
we're not gonna pitch a bunch of hot asphalt into a big puddle.
Right. I'm not. As you can tell, I'm not Bill Nye the Science Guy on any of that. But that's exciting because you need a winter like this every once in a while to get caught up filling potholes.
Absolutely. And so whether it's potholes or paving, a light winter is going to yield us a little bit of extra budgetary flexibility. And so that's where we're at this year. Again, most ambitious paving schedule we've had in a while. And with the paving schedule goes, a lot of folks want to talk sidewalks with Public Works, which we talk a lot about sidewalks. What's interesting is when you take into account the money we have budgeted for sidewalks and such, most of that money goes towards the paving schedule in terms of if we mill and pave a street, we have to bring all curb ramps. So the ramps on the sidewalks that connect to the street, if we pave a road, we need to bring that up to the current ADA standards,
right?
Which is not cheap. And so it's a balance. We try to get sidewalk repairs in, but with such an aggressive paving schedule this year, we're going to be doing a whole lot of curb ramp work. And we have, you'll see in the downtown area this last week, we had our concrete contractor was out doing a lot of saw cuts in the roads. And this is all in anticipation of a big curb ramp project we're doing in the downtown. So between paving, curb ramps, just street sweeping, street department's fully busy. Public Works is really, we've got a lot going on right now between the sanitation project. We've got our animal shelter under construction.
I saw that. That's being leveled and what do they call that? Leveled. Leveled to me means torn down. Leveled in a playing field sense, that's what they're doing there.
Yep.
Scraping it.
Scraping it, getting it ready. So we'll have some new construction at the animal shelter. And then we're also, once the new construction's finished, we have the new kennels in place. We'll be doing some remodel to the existing space.
As Bob Barker once said, just have your pets spayed and neutered, and we don't have to increase the Bloomington animal shelter.
It's a great project. The one thing we realized with the animal shelter was, for the health and safety of both the workers and the animals and such, it needed some upgrades. And so big, important project down there should last us into the foreseeable future to have a great environment for our staff.
Yeah, and if you think
animals.
We're just talking trash this morning, we've got all kinds of things to go on. I want to touch on the graffiti just for a minute because it was in today's paper.
Sure.
I just want you to clarify whose responsibility it is for what to save you the phone ringing and to save people, whether they're landlords, business owners, or private citizens saying,
sure,
where's the city?
Yep. So, the graffiti situation, as was in the paper today, we back in 2011, the city did a pilot project where we tried to help private property owners in the downtown. It was a geographical area. I think it was like 3rd to 9th Rogers to Indiana or something, right around there, and did a pilot project where we were working with private property owners and getting on private property and helping to eradicate graffiti. Over time, we've shifted, I think that was really an effort to draw attention to the issue. We were seeing an uptick in the graffiti, and so in an effort to try to help, we came with that program. Now, as we've progressed along over the years, our big focus is going to be if folks report graffiti to us on private property, we usually have that contact information to get a hold of the private property owner. Say, hey, don't know if you saw it. Got graffiti on your building.
You might not live here. You might not.
Exactly. Right. Draw attention to it with the property owner. So our efforts are going to, with the city's resources, we're our parking garages and some of our other public facilities see the graffiti as well. And so we focus our efforts on our public property. In terms of the private property, we're going to pretty much leave that up to the landlords.
But this isn't like snow removal where it needs to be gone in 24 hours. You know, you'd like it to be, but...
Ideally, you know, the quicker it's taken care of, you know, the less chance it's got of coming back. You know, the one thing, if you read the case studies on graffiti eradication, it's going to say the quicker it's gone, the less likely it's to show back up right away. But yeah, we're going to focus our efforts on public property. We'll work with private property owners to remind them, oh, hey, saw your building got tagged. You know, you're going to be able
to
take care of
it. Yeah.
So, you know, it's ongoing issue in a
it is.
And growing
it's,
community.
It's not going to be a completely solved problem either. It's just one of those where if it's got vulgar language, please try to get it taken care of so you don't have to explain to your children what that means. Adam Wason is the Director of Public Works. He's with us this morning live in the studio. We were going to come back to talk trash because we have rental homes, apartment complexes. How does that trash system going to work?
Absolutely. So one thing that doesn't change under this new proposal is who we service. So the city, since I think it's the early 80s or so, has restricted itself to serving households, single-family residences, and households of 4 units or less. So if you have a small apartment complex that's 4 units or less, that will be serviced by the city. Anything over 4 units for apartments are going to be serviced by private haulers, as well as anything commercial. So if you're a commercial business, a nonprofit, a church, anything like that, that's all going to be a commercial service that we don't provide. But anything 4 units or less, the city will service. And with this change, you know, the one thing that we are being rather nimble with and being accommodating, trying to work the best we can, is rental agreements vary by landlord and by rental company.
Right.
And so the one thing we've told the landlords is landlords and property owners of rental units as we've moved through this is, hey, reach out to us, talk to us, let us know what you're thinking, and we'll try to accommodate. So, you know, some landlords and leases have it where the residents are responsible for trash, water, electric, all that.
Yeah, but if somebody has a place where that says, oh, water's included my utilities.
Yep. So we're being flexible there. We're working with the landlords. You know, we're going to leave it to the property owner, the landlord, to make those original selections on cart sizes, you know, and they can then work with their tenants.
The largest.
Yeah.
Just put the largest there. You can't shove a couch in there. I'm sorry, it won't fit.
Right. But please do take the largest recycling one, because those cans, bottles, et cetera,
right,
will stack up pretty quickly.
Those red Solo cups. Now, if you restack them, they'll be okay.
Yep. So, you know, the one thing we have told the landlords and the property owners is that we will certainly work with them to make accommodations. You know, we've had a couple property owners that own, you know, 30, 40 properties come in. They filled out the surveys for each one. And then we've had others that said, hey, we're going to leave it to our tenants. You know, they're going to be able to pick. So, but, you know, I think they do understand that, you know, the middle size for the trash is probably the a reasonable one, if not the largest, for some of these, you know, apartment units and such. So, but yeah, working case by case and, you know, anything, trying to be accommodating as possible with those property owners.
And last one before we let you go, we always talk about jobs and hours and everything else. People say, well, you're going to automate all this. This is going to hurt employment with the city. Talk about how you're going to alleviate that problem.
Well, so, you know, the one thing we've, in talking with all of our employees at the sanitation department, and, you know, we've said all along is that any employee in good standing with us is not going to lose a position. We have other needs in the city that we could increase our efforts at. You know, one thing I think of immediately is the urban forest. We could use an extra crew that's working on preventative
kudzu for everybody.
Yeah, preventative tree maintenance. You know, a lot of our efforts with tree maintenance or with the urban forest is focused on safety issues. So between Emerald Ash Borer and a bunch of different things that have happened with the urban forest, drought, et cetera, we've got more trees that are just need to come down due to safety reasons than we are to be able to put any efforts towards kind of that preventative tree trimming, maintenance, pruning. So in an ideal world, I'd be able to put put together another tree pruning crew.
What about with the Switchyard Park opening? Is that a natural gateway to more people going to be,
you know,
needed?
You know, with the Switchyard Park, there will be, you know, everything I understand of it is there will be some new operational needs for parks.
Absolutely.
So, you know, as
87
we
more acres, right?
As we transition, you know, if we're reducing a position or two at sanitation, whether it's street department or parks or utilities, we'll look to put those employees in a position that suits their needs and their skill sets.
Where's the best place to look if I need more sanitation information?
Bloomington.in.gov /sanitation-modernization, one word. So just city's website, and even from the landing page, you should be able to find it pretty easily.
Yeah, all the links are right there. You guys have done a great, and I've said that since the comprehensive master plans, everything, the elections, everything that's been on there, the that's how we get our information. Absolutely. These days. It's got to be up there, and if it's transparency, it's great. It's been easy to navigate, easy to find. When I paste it on our Facebook page at WGCL Radio, the link is clear. It's right there. So great job on all that. We got 6.5 minutes. Do you think we can fit it all in? Where are you at right now?
You've
listened to this program once or twice before. You think we can get it in?
Absolutely. You know, public service is one thing I can talk about all day. So we
great. Well, we appreciate it because those are questions people are just asking me through Twitter. They're asking me when I see them on the street. Hey, if you talk to Adam, if you talk to Mick, ask. Well, that's it. It's a concern because everybody has to deal with trash at some point.
Absolutely.
So good stuff. One final time on a Monday. Forecast today is fantastically decent for spring. 72, clouds in and out, 72 and 53. So not bad at all. We thank the Director of Public Works, Adam Wason, for riding shotgun with us.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks.
Today.
Can we do this more often?
I'd be happy to.
Busy because you just told me about 600 different things you're doing, potholes and sidewalks and trash and recycling and new trucks. But this stuff resonates with people. This is daily life. This is stuff that is tangible every day here in Bloomington, and I think it's important.
I was talking with April, my wife, the other day about, you know, sometimes I have to kind of pinch myself when I say I'm public works director for the city of Bloomington, but, I enjoy the position more than I could ever say it out loud. We're actually providing direct public services. This is where the rubber makes their road.
Daily life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here in town.
You know, when you talk with folks on the phone, they are passionate about these things.
And yes, they are.
You know, and so, but.
Well, we're going to have you back whether you like it or not. And
anytime.
Thanks to your bosses for letting you come by. We always thank Mick Renheisen. And obviously, a shout out to the mayor for allowing you guys to come and join us. It's our city. We want to hear about it.
Yeah,
so
you guys do a great job. We're busy at City Hall. Mayor Hamilton's certainly keeping us busy. And, as he tells us, you know, he wants us working hard, doing what we say we're going to do. And
you're doing
if we're going to fail fast and make corrections. So
great job, buddy.
We're doing our best.
We love it. Adam Wason.
Thanks for having me.